Hey, welcome to the Rock Tall, reign your office like a queen, session number dos. This call is being recorded. We're going to try something, a little phone exercise later on. So I'm going to ask each of you to mute yourselves. And if you look on your screen, I believe it's over on the left, a little microphone. If you hover over it, it'll say like mute, unmute, unmute. If you would mute yourself, and then I'm going to mute everybody in case people come in and haven't done that yet. And then later on, I'm going to do a little unmute and ask somebody to hop on. So if for now, though, if you'd find that mute button. And remember, you've got two mechanisms for asking questions or communicating. The chat is what everybody can see, all the participants can see. And if you're just talking to each other, go ahead and use the chat. I've got two monitors open and the Q&A box, and that's too much for me to see. So assume that I do not see the chat talk now. I'll see it after the call, but I don't see it now. If you want to talk to me, you have a question for me, there should be a Q&A button on your screen. And you can hit the Q&A button, type something in, and I will see it. And just a couple of housekeeping. Remember to be comfortable, but not so comfortable that you fall asleep. Hopefully you've got a speaker or earbuds or whatever you need to be relaxed in your chair and comfortable. So we talked about how to do the calls and to mute yourself. And a reminder that our open office Q&A, I've gone ahead and scheduled it for 11 to 12 on Fridays. If you can't make it, be sure to enter in a question and I will address it. And a few notes from last week. So just so you all know, Kathy, who is on this call, has been helping me out for it's been over a month now. She's providing marketing and strategy support, and she's taking this course. We connected after the last session, and her experience was, there was a lot of information that she wanted to implement, and since she didn't have a plan for that, she felt like it was a little overwhelming in the context of how it fits in with all of her other commitments. And I'm going to assume that she wasn't the only one. Pretty standard type of concern and reflection. So three things about that. One, hopefully you saw my suggestion in the post-session email to go through your notes and highlight what you'd like to implement. And then pick the top three, and then make it a goal to focus on the top one. And that should narrow it down to the one thing that you really want to focus on this week. And then a few other notes. One is that I will continue to make this scenario, since it's a really good one, being that you're getting a lot of incoming information, what do you do with it, how do you fit it into your system, and how do you incorporate it into your flow and your life. And so I'll keep using this as an example as we go forward. The third thing that I wanted to point out was that I'm considering a 5-month program. And that would mean one subject call per month. For example, your action system. And then the rest of the month would be helping you get the systems implemented. It would give you a chance to establish new habits and deal with customizing the issues before moving on to the next subject. So last week, being the information parking module, parking spot sounds like it could be kind of transitory, and I want to emphasize that the other main theme of last week is foundational, okay? And so I want to highlight what the three most important foundational part of last week's call was. And the first one is the calendar syncing across devices, that you're able to do that, that you're able to rely on the information that you see in your calendar, no matter which device you're using. If you're out and about a lot, or if you're at your desktop, or you know, if you use multiple computers, you're coming back and you're seeing the same information. That you're at two, it says five, I know, let's continue on from the last one. That your address book is reliable. Whenever you're needing a number, you're going right there to get it. Again, it syncs across devices. That's your second foundational, super important. These are your first things to take care of. And the third one is that your passwords are strong and safe. Dealing with identity theft, other people making, you know, charges on your cards or whatever, getting into your bank account is just, it's not 100% avoidable. And hackers often use the brute force method, which is they just bombard, the account with a whole bunch of different possibilities. And when you've got like a 10, digit long password with characters and uppercase and lowercase and numbers and all that kind of stuff, it's so much safer. Okay, so those are the three things, and I just wanted to point those out to narrow down the focus as to what you are working on. And one other wrap up from last week, I gave you the info parking spot page to download. And this one's going to make even more sense as our sessions progress. So keep the handout as a placeholder. Okay, as we talk about sending information to the various places, you'll circle the ones that will be helpful for you, cross out the ones you don't need, and you'll add on others that aren't on here. So as we're going through this different information and something pops into your head like, oh, I need a parking spot. This is a type of information that I don't know what to do with. Record it here. Then when you have a snapshot by the end of the course of what kinds of information, and you'll know this just because you've been adding things on here, maybe just one at a time, once you see what information you need to accommodate, it's going to be a lot easier to decide which method or mechanism will best be used to store it. Hopefully you printed out today's handout. This is the Walk Tall Action System. And I added one thing here, which I would like for you to add onto yours. And you'll see over kind of like making your own sidebar. It can be on either side, just somewhere on the page. Make your own little section that says criteria. And we'll come back to that, but I want that to be on this kind of table of contents type of page. I want the criteria to be on here as well, because we're going to be talking about To-Do Manager, and your criteria for you is going to be determining which is the best method for you. So go ahead and put criteria there. Our playing field for the day is tracking the things you want to get done. Okay, so storing and amping them up, so to speak, and that'll make sense as we get through it. But we're talking about the tracking of the to-do items. The when strategies, as far as like how to plan out your day for doing these things, that'll be next week in energy management. And then the bigger picture planning strategies that are kind of a little bit more meta for your life, bigger picture, that's going to be coming in the review and planning session. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify what today's is. And we're going to be peeking behind the veil, so to speak, of the to-do manager. And we're going to review a bunch of the features. Both reviewing features, but also to demonstrate or illustrate which of the features are going to really benefit you, because these are the ones you're going to make sure to use as you go forward. You don't need all of them, but based on how you work and what your situation is, some of them will be really useful for you. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to kind of be peeking behind the veil. So pay attention to the subjects that we get to those, and you're like, whoa, I know I need that. I didn't even know it existed, and my life would be so much better if I had that set and dialed in. Those you're going to highlight on the action systems page. And again, that becomes part of your criteria for making your selections and moving forward. What I'm going to be talking about today is loosely based on David Allen's Getting Things Done methodology. He wrote a book called Getting Things Done, which you are welcome to get and read. Allen, A-L-L-E-N. It's a bit more of a conceptual book, and my experience of it has been that people read it and then they say, oh my God, where do I start? So just so you know, this whole program, this 5-week program, is basically setting you up from the self-employed perspective. Most of David Allen's people are in cubicles, they're in the corporate world. They have a different mindset than the self-employed, creative, lots of ideas, lots going on, you know, where work and personal are just all blended together into one. So if you really like the more conceptual read thing stuff, go for it. But honestly, that you signed up for this class is going to be probably more useful for you. Okay, so number one, we are jumping right in. Okay, because I've got a lot. So you've got a bit of a table of contents there. And my suggestion is using that page, the action system, the Walk Tall action system page. The subjects are numbered. You have paper for taking notes. And so either, you know, maybe you take a lot of notes, maybe you just take a few notes. But wherever you take those notes, you can just take the number of the subject, like say it's projects and commitments, which is number one. And you can just put a little, you know, one with a circle around it on that page and know that that page is about projects and commitments. Oh my gosh, I'm so busted. We're going back. All right. No, you're getting me now. Easily. Okay, bye. I almost skipped our avatar work for the day, which I don't want to do. I did receive an email from one of our participants after class last week, and she said that after the first session, she started feeling insecure about something, and she called on her avatar, and it helped her get back to herself. And I tell you, that kind of thing just absolutely warms my heart, because it is a very powerful tool. So I want to take it. We're going to be kind of evolving with it. We're going to progress to the next stage of avatar-ness. And so seeing as my mug is probably going to be a little distracting, we're not really on projects and commitments yet, but what I would like for you to do is pretend that's not there. Get comfortable in your seat, and we're going to do a short guided visualization. So please get comfortable in your seat. And the first step always, 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 is to relax. And a wonderful way to relax, you can take it like a 5-step sinking in and follow your breath with it. So on an inhale, breathing in to your entire body and exhaling any tension. Nice deep exhale. Inhale into your awareness of your forehead and exhaling all tension. Inhaling into your jaw and exhaling. Inhaling into your shoulders. Exhaling all tension. And finally, inhaling into your spine. And exhaling any unnecessary tension. Letting your body be calm. Relaxing into that place, your natural professional avatar, where you feel that quiet strength. You feel a comfortable sense of confidence. There's a knowingness that you can handle anything that comes your way. You have a sense of groundedness, connected to the earth, and at the same time, you're reaching up, walking tall. And if you had a visual for yourself that came up, a representational visual of what this experience, what this feeling might look like, let that arise. And the three words that I use, strength, confidence, and groundedness, can be your anchor. And if there are any other words that come forth for you that this place represents, words or phrases, I would like for you to capture those. And record them on the avatar handout. Writing them down because you're going to use these as part of your key, as part of your shortcut to come back here. So breathing in, soaking it up, and letting this be part of your blueprint as you move forward, letting it be your baseline, your anchor, your place to come back to. This part of you never changes. You just get to remember it's just always there. Okay, so breathing that in and bringing it forth. And we will move forward. And remember, be relaxed. Don't fall asleep. All right. So I want to remind you that the brain, since we're talking mind and brain tools here momentarily, is a very poor multitasker. If you haven't heard this before, you're hearing it now. There have been numerous studies that have shown that people's quality of work and ability to complete their work actually decreases when they're multitasking. Ironically, it's the people who are most convinced that they're great multitaskers, that they have no problem, you know, texting and driving type of thing, who actually do the poorest on these tests. Being present and mindful actually helps you get things done more effectively and quickly, and not to mention with less stress. And I understand that sometimes you are doing more than one thing. So I want to give you this as another way to look at multitasking and monotasking. Because none of us can literally monotask. I'm still breathing as I talk. I'm still reading my notes as I speak. Okay, so think of monotasking or multitasking from the perspective of your mindset. I am in the role of presenter right now, which means that I'm going to monotask on the things that I need to do in order to fulfill that. And it's in that same, using the same brain bandwidth, so to speak, for the reading and the speaking, part contemplative and part, you know, presentation teacher-like, right? So that's kind of how, that's where my head is. A mother, obviously, she's doing, you know, five things at once. But what she's not doing is she's not sitting down to read, you know, say an article on something where, you know, you like kind of snuggle up on the sofa and you've got your blanket and a cup of tea and reading. You're not doing that and making dinner at the same time. You might be making dinner and helping with homework and, you know, you've got this like, more surface level thought process for jumping around. Does that make sense? So keying in a text and driving your car are two very different types of activities. So there's subsets that allow for different types of things going on. Being mom on the go, she's got a lot of things going on. Like that's the nature of what that role is. Okay, so yeah. I mean, if that doesn't make sense, I find it a very helpful and important distinction. Yeah. Okay. So overwhelm, tying this back in, typically occurs when you're faced with, you know, a big situation involving multiple angles, possibilities, potential outcomes, et cetera. And your brain literally cannot grasp all of the angles. And being the control freaks that we are, the brain goes into overdrive, spins out, and essentially it short circuits, right? Because it's trying to do different things at the same time or grasp something that it cannot possibly grasp. The antidote, of course, is to break it down into manageable, understandable parts, which you already know conceptually, I'm sure. So what you need in this context of taking in a lot of information and figuring out how to break it down is helpful ways to categorize, helpful ways to track those categories, and useful ways to access those categories. So, you know, coming back to this example of you're taking in all this information for the class, there are to-dos, there are projects, there are wish lists, you know, there are some things that you know would be really timely and some, you know, that would just be maybe someday. How do you categorize? How do you track them? And then how, what do you really easily and quickly access those different categories based on which subset of the information you want. Logistically speaking, you've got the Walk Tall Action System page, right? It's kind of like a table of contents, just like you might have at a meeting. So one of the first things you do, maybe a reminder, this may be new, but a brilliant habit that everybody should be in, whenever you sit down at a meeting, in a client meeting, at a class, and you've got that page in front of you and you're ready to take notes, two things. Clarity of intention would suggest that you identify on that page what this page of notes is going to be about. For example, action system. For example, client meeting, you know, with person X. Committee meeting, for this organization, right? Because these are the pieces of paper that you run across in 3 weeks and you have no idea what it is. Or it takes you, you know, a couple of minutes scanning through, recreating the context in your mind to remember what this is about. Skip all of that by writing across the top, what is this for? This is the action system for Walk Tall. Second thing, date. Date. Put on the date. Always put that date on the page. And I do include the year, primarily because time is moving so fast. And when you're doing something for years and years, when you're in the same profession for years, you can run across something and honestly know not what or not know which year it is. So title of it would be a meeting with your kid's teacher. Subject, mid-year review, as opposed to just the name of the teacher, Jones, okay? Jones mid-year review on October 8th on the 13th. As you take notes, like I said, you can refer to the subject on the front, on this page, on your other notes, and then you can also include something specific to your intention. For example, do. Or you could star it, put a circle with a star in it to say, this is something I'm really interested in. And then at the end, you know, again, we look through all of them and pull out the most important ones. But you've already done, as you went along, been listening to that part of you that is kind of speaking to you as you go, that causes you to like sit up and go, oh, that. Listen to that. Really good information for you. And when you hear those, don't assume that you're going to remember later. Put some kind of notation down to capture it right then. And then with the rest of the notes, so we will take a few minutes to process your notes at the end of the call. And then with the rest of the notes, here are some suggestions. You could create a project called Simplify. Simplifying organized. You could add the project to your project list that you want to implement. You could put just one there and then tag the rest as someday. We're going to be talking about these today. And then the fun way that I love to create my own index book is you have your table of contents on the top, and then you put your notes below it, you can staple it, and then you take a sticky and you run it off the side and you label it. And I just now realized that I don't want to have a sample for that. I'll try to do a sample of that by the end. Okay, let's jump into the project and commitment. Number one. Okay, so definition first. A project is a desired outcome, and one project may have several projects supporting it. For example, a project might be password strengthening and protection, and that might be a sub-project of a larger one called simplifying organized. Okay, and a commitment is going to be a role you've committed to. Home CEO or my business CEO or a contributor to a local newspaper. So they're not necessarily specific projects, but there are going to be projects that support those roles. Okay, and after saying all that, I do want to say I'm not really picky about using the word projects or commitments. Just know that some people get hung up on, okay, is that a specific project? Like a project is a desired outcome. Okay. Same with a commitment. You want to be a great CEO. Like it's still an outcome. Now, where I'm not loose about is mixing it with the term to do or task or action item. Okay. To do, task, or action item. That is something completely different. So a to do is a single action which moves a project forward. A project is simply a series of tasks all moving in the same direction. So for example, watch a video on setting up the password manager. That would be a to-do. Call handyman about fence. That is a to-do. Landscaping, that's a project. Since they're different, they're tracked differently. So creating a project and commitment list is one of the ways that stuff isn't going to fall through the cracks. Parking a project on your list is kind of like staking a placeholder. And this will make even more sense when we get to the review and the planning session, where you literally will scan through all of your projects to let that be the trigger or a reminder to consider, oh, is there something else I need to do now to move this forward? So you're not only relying on due dates, because not everything has a due date. Projects, you can use the same list for projects and commitments. And again, think of it like a placeholder. If I think of myself as a contributor to the newspaper, that's not a specific something. My article for next issue, that is specific. So I would like for you to grab your note paper and label a page current project and jot down all of the current projects or commitments that are on your plate right now. What are your current? And write them down. We're going to take 1 minute to do that. Adding on to this, I want you to also write down the repeating responsibilities. So if you've already written some of those down, you could put an R by it for repeating or recurring. But keep going, writing these down. Could be things that, okay, sure, they happen all the time. Bill paying, invoicing clients, they happen every month, okay? Keep writing those down as well. And then I would highly recommend for after class to then write down the someday list. Like someday, don't know when, someday. It sounds vague, and it is incredibly powerful in that it relieves your mind from maintaining an idea that isn't relevant to you right now. Like, I know I want to re-landscape my backyard, and it's not going to happen anytime soon. But by parking it in my system, it actually gives my head peace of mind, knowing that that idea is safe, that intention, that desire has been honored by being put down somewhere. And so I don't need to keep thinking about it. So there are probably a bunch of things in your head of, oh, like, I really want to get to that, or someday I'm going to do this, or, you know, someday I'm going to go to Fiji or whatever. Just jot those down, and they will have a place in your system. Okay, so we will be putting this project list in a useful place, but not right now, because right now we're looking at all the different parts. The next part is number two, the to-do. So on this one, I want to start out with, on the next space of paper or the next piece of paper, write to-do at the top, and then write 1, 2, 3 with space in between, so that you have room to write, like, say, a couple of sentences. So then in the 1, 2, and 3, write down 3 things you need to do. Maybe there are the 3 things that you're going to do after this class, or there are things that have been on your mind. But go ahead and write 1, 2, and 3, 3 things that you're going to do, and leave space between them. Okay, you've probably got them. So we'll come right back to that after we talk about the SNA. The SNA. Every project is realized through a series of single next actions. Your to-do list is intended to be a series of single next actions. And I don't know, I guess it could be a small list, but that's just too awkward for words. I use pretty interchangeably to do, action items. I don't know. I'm sure there's another one that I use too. So the to do is an action that brings you closer to realizing the desired outcome. So an SNA, a single next action, must be very clear, meaning that it should start with a verb. And this triggers your head into going in the right direction. Like, essentially, you can think of it like coming up with a bunch of little shortcuts for using less processing power in your brain. And starting out with a call, read, find, get, buy, research, draft, brainstorm, gives your head already an understanding of how it should be framing what is to follow. Okay? It starts with a verb. It represents a single action. Now, I might have call the handyman, but not if I don't have a handyman yet. Like, I need a handyman. So, in order for that to be a single action, well, no, okay, so I'm kind of, okay, so there's single and there's next. So say I don't have a handyman yet. My action cannot be called handyman because I don't have one. So the first action might be ask Jody who she uses for a handyman, or email Robert to see if he still does handyman kind of work. It's one. So it's not call and do something else. with it. It's one action. It's a call. It's a brainstorm session. It's doable, which means what I've already started talking about, which is that there isn't something else that needs to happen first. Like, I can't write an article for the paper because my process is that I brainstorm first. So if I keep seeing write article, then my brain isn't going to know what to do with that information because I need to brainstorm it first. And I'm telling myself to write when what I really need to do is brainstorm, okay? Our brains are really literal. And we get to play with the whole metaphorical side of our brain, but when you start getting into tasks, you're playing to your left brain, which is really literal. So make it easy on your head by identifying the next action that you can do in order to move the thing forward. So say you want to learn one password, the password manager. What actually goes on your action? Learn one password. That's a desired outcome. So instead, it might be watch a video on installing one password. And if when that's done and you've decided to use it, then maybe the next one is install one password. Then learn how to add an entry. And then change my banking password. So they're very specific, they're single actions, they start with a verb. Now let's go back to the ones that you wrote down. Are they single next actions? And this is where I would like to ask someone to volunteer their action item as a demonstration and to unmute themselves and we can go over it together on the line. So, would anybody like to volunteer turning whatever they wrote, their things they need to do, turning those into single next actions? So download agenda for the Kalia wrote. Download agenda for 12 o'clock. Download agenda for 12 o'clock meeting to iPad. Starts with a verb. It's a single action, download agenda. It's specific. And is there any reason that this would not be a next action?
Unless I can't find my iPad.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or if you had given your iPad to, if you had lent it out, well, hopefully you can find it because as a natural professional, I'm sure you know where your iPad is. But if you lent it to somebody, then the next action would be get iPad back from John, for example, and then the next action would be download the agenda. 12 o'clock meeting. Love how specific that is. Great. Thank you. Erin, do you have one? And this is where if you're muted, you can unmute yourself once you're called up.
Okay, Erin, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my first one was buy supplies for pumpkin decorating booth at a carnival. And so it's actually buy salt and pepper shakers for glitter is one of the supplies I need.
Great. Okay, good. So getting more specific. First thing that popped into my head was, do you know what kind of decorations you're going to use?
Yeah.
And so you identified glitter, and then you went to what are the specifics there? Great. That's a single by the phone checker. By phone checker. Oh my God, I can't speak. By salt and pepper shakers. Start with a verb. Single, and it's a next action. So the only other thing you would want to know In order to make it a next action is how many. Since this is for a larger event, you'll probably want to have thought through how many you're going to want to buy so you're not making that decision as you're standing there in the aisle looking at the salt and pepper shakers.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Any others? Okay, so then some of the tips for your to-dos and a to-do manager. Well, it doesn't have to be to-do manager. I'm letting my bias for to-do manager slip here. So you want to be able to add stuff quickly. And by quickly, I mean two things. One is if you've got a whole bunch of stuff in your head, you want to be able to jot it all down and throw it into your system quickly. So I mean quickly in that sense. The second quickly is that it mechanically is easy for you to enter the information, right? So it goes in your smartphone, like you have a way to enter it through your smartphone, which you always have with you. Or you have a notebook that you always have with you that you just grab it and you write it down. To-dos have a bad habit of popping up in inconvenient times. So if you're focused on a project, you want to be able to pull the thing from your head, deposit it in the right place, and get back to where you were. So that's what I mean by quick. Many to-do managers do have a quick add feature where you can just boom, 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 enter a whole bunch of stuff really fast, and then you go back and process them. And by process, I mean adding the features that I'll be talking about in a few minutes. Other context for adding quickly is from your email program. So either you can email the task to your program, or like in the case of the program that I use, on my desktop, I have a quick add feature, and it just, like, I don't even leave my email program. I hit a shortcut. It takes the email, it links to it, and I send it over to my task manager, and I never leave the email program. So quick, it doesn't interrupt the flow to get it onto my list. So the email to-dos, let's just talk about those for a sec, because these are the sticky ones. So the emails come in, and there are a number of different ways to deal with them. We'll be talking about this more in the email management. But since we're talking about to-dos, I just want to talk about emails in the context of to-dos. Something comes in, and it's an action item. And we talked about an example last week of someone, you know, say a consultant gets an email from somebody who wants to know more about their services, and even though they've got a ready-to-send email and all the information pretty much ready to go, they still need to dedicate 5 minutes to it. So where does that, you know, really high-priority email go? So you basically have two options, right? You can either pull it into your to-do manager and tag it as a today, or you can flag it in your email program, or move it to a folder in your email program, you know, which is still a kind of form of tagging. Excuse me. Oh, I'm coughing. So that flows right into priorities. When you finally have the time to work on something, you go to your collection of things to do, and priority provides a great guide for what you should do in that moment. The biggest issue with priorities is our tendency for everything to be a high priority, And when everything's important, nothing is important. So meaningful prioritizing and consistency are the keys. And how to make them meaningful? Well, define them. So first of all, commit to a legend. Okay? So what is your legend? What makes the most sense for you? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D, today, high, medium, low, or mega important, middling, and forget about it? My preference is for today, high, medium, low. 1, 2, 3, 4, and A, B, C, D, still awesome, and if that is what you've been using and that is where your head immediately goes for priority, keep it. Don't change it. Stick with what you know. And I'm going to nix out the mega important middle you forget about it just because they're a little bit unwieldy, even though they are kind of amusing. So, you know, the standard is for three things, right? ABC, 1, 2, 3, high, medium, low. Now, I'm going to suggest four because we tend to abuse the high priority. And low, in our, you know, kind of reactive, put fires out mode, we are loath to call something low priority because it, you know, it just like does something in our head and like it, as if it somehow disparages what we need to do. It's a psychological thing, you know? So if you've got four, then you've got your super, super high importance being today. And then you've got two more after that. a little mind game there. So what do these mean? So now that you've got your legend, what do they mean? Do you want to commit to mission? And this is going to depend on what your flow is like. So remembering from last week, our three key mind tools, consistency and follow through. So let's see. One, let's say you use one, or say you use A, or today. That is something, for example, and I want you to define it for yourself, and in your notes, you can put priority definitions. Today, A or one might be must do before my head hits the pillow tonight. And be sparing with this, okay? If it doesn't have meaning, if today doesn't mean today, then it doesn't give your head the peace of mind of knowing that it's important, okay? So today really has to mean today. And then the second one, either priority two or B or high, what does that mean for you? Is it this week? Is it within 2 days? So what makes the most sense for you? Is it 3 days? Is it by the end of the day tomorrow? And then medium, or number three, or C. Is it this week? Needs to get done this week, but after the highs? And then what would or mean? What would D or low mean? For me, when I do my weekly review, having something tagged as low pulls it up in my shortcut to review these items. So a low is probably something that needs to be done in the next couple of weeks, and I need it on my radar so I know how to generally manage my commitments. But I just know I'm not going to be looking at those this week. So I know that's 2 or 3 weeks out. But once I'm actually in my day-to-day looking at my to-dos and figuring out what to do. Like, I'm just not going to go to the low. That is what low means for me. It means in 2 or 3 weeks. Because at some point, it's going to be late if I never do it. But for now, I can put it off, but it's still on my radar. So use that top one sparingly. Give it that kind of fire engine red, urgent, like, really this needs to be done today. And so what that allows you to do is coming back to tagging your to-do in either the action to-do manager or in your email program. Have a tag that represents that today level of urgency. Not the highs, just the today. So then you have one more, and I mentioned it earlier, and that is the someday. So you can have projects, you can also have to-dos tagged as someday. And this is, like I said, it's a big part of David Allen's Getting Things Done methodology because it gets the thing out of your head, which I just can't emphasize the importance of that. Getting the stuff out of your head so it's not in the way of what you're working on or what you're thinking about. You're not using up brain power to be thinking about things that have no relevance to you right now. Okay, let's look at pending. Pending is like, is the waiting for. So there's a lot of pending stuff that ends up floating around. It gets forgotten. It pops up at inconvenient times. For example, you've asked for a response which hasn't come yet. And you're working in your garden and a little bomb goes off in your head. And you think, oh my gosh, I never heard back from Joe on that. That's pending a response. Or you need to decide on whether to commit to something or not. And you're not ready to make a decision. Like, say, you've received an invitation to go to a friend's wedding in Montana. You'd like to go and be there for her, but it comes at an awkward time schedule-wise. But a break might be a good idea about then, but financially it's a little bit of a stretch. It's pending decision. Or maybe there's an open house for a local business you'd like to support, but you have partially conflicting previous commitments. That's another pending decision. Or you placed an order and are waiting for it to arrive, right? Pending arrival. You want to be reminded that the thing that you ordered didn't come because you've already forgotten about it. So these all originate from different places. You know, sometimes it's something you've ordered. Sometimes it's something you've asked for in person or by email. Maybe it's notes from a meeting. So the to-do manager and the calendar are both perfectly acceptable ways to track these. I work as a to-do manager, so that is my preference to have it there. Both of those methods can add date functionality. And this is really important. So say you place an order, then you can throw it off for 2 weeks and not think about it. But in 2 weeks, that item is going to come up and say, hey, did this order come? Oh my gosh, it never did. What do I need to do about that? Boom. Or yes, it did, so you can just check it off. Let's see, what else on pending right now? Pending is a big one. I don't recommend tracking your pendings in your email program because it's not going to be a complete collection of them. Because like I said, sometimes they come from meeting notes or something that you verbally asked for. So you want them all in one place. You want one system for tracking this type of information. Okay, context.
Ooh.
Okay, I could talk all day long about context. And yep, okay, context is important. Important, important. They're super cool. They allow you to sort your to-dos based on what is possible in that moment. Instead of looking at your list and skimming down, you know, five items to see which one of them you can do right now, context tags collect the ones that you can do right now based on various criteria. And then combining that with priorities, you've just modified your to-do list in a very meaningful way. Because one of the problems with, you know, a comprehensive to-do list is that it has a lot of stuff in it, and not all of it is something that you necessarily want to do right now. So you need a meaningful way to narrow it down so that you feel good about what you're moving forward with. So it serves up only what's possible. Two, it groups activities. So, for example, making a bunch of phone calls at one time. So not only is this effective at an efficiency level, there's another practical aspect. You know, say you're out and about, a meeting gets pushed back an hour, it doesn't make sense to go back home. So you pull up your phone context to do, the ones that are tagged phone, and since your address book is up to date, and you've included the phone number in the to-do item note, if it's just a one-time call, you swing through all your calls in 30 minutes and then sit and enjoy some sound free time on a bench outside. Boom. And the third thing is that they help you plan. And this will be evident when we talk about time containers and also estimate time needed for tasks in future sessions. Suffice to say that using the context helps you to understand what you need to accommodate for. So let's take a look at the handout called Context. And as we go through these, highlight the ones that you know you'd use. You're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that one's me, blah. And of course, add or alter as relevant to you. So we've got lists. Or contexts that are useful in a certain place. And it can be lists because the hard copy, really simple way of tracking context would be a list, its own list. And so the to-do manager is like complex list making, right? Because you can serve up your information in so many different ways. So lists that are useful in a certain place, for example, errands. Like, I don't want to be looking at my errands when I'm working on my project at my computer, right? They're in the way. Ditto for errands in San Francisco. Like, if I'm doing errands in San Jose, I don't want to be looking at what I need to do in San Francisco. And conversely, if I'm in San Francisco, I want to just be able to quickly see what were the things I was thinking I was going to do up here when I had some free time. It could be a store. REI, Trader Joe's. It could be a difficult to access place in your house, your basement, your attic. You get in there once or twice a month or once or twice a year. And, you know, there's some things that you like to locate, take up, bring down. And so you throw those in to your to-do manager with the tag of basement. And then the next time you're going to the basement, you've got a list all ready to go, reminding you of all the things that you were wanting to take care of. It could be a specific website, like Amazon. It could be a specific program, like QuickBooks. It could be online versus offline. So online, if you're only online occasionally, then you would want to tag all of the things that you can only do online. So when you go into town, for example, and you go to the cafe and you have high-speed internet access, you've got this list of things already queued up, ready to go. If you have two offices, then you might have, you know, an office A or a home tag. So there are some things that you can only do at that other office. This quickly tags those. So then the next section, it could be a specific kind of equipment, phone. These are all phone calls, so I can sit down and I can make all my phone calls.
If I only fire up my MacBook every once in a while, then I'm going to tag the things that I can only do on that computer. Discussion items for specific people. I really like this one. It is not practical to throw into an email or a text message every single time you have a question or a point of discussion for that certain person. It could be a spouse, could be your contractor, could be your teacher, you know, bookkeeper, it could be anyone that when you get to get, it could be an assistant, it could be a collaborator, a colleague. Whenever you're like, oh, I want to remember to tell that person blah, blah, or, you know, that is something that we really need to be talking about. Collect all of those thoughts in this one place. Then say, like, you know, to your spouse, hey, babe, I've got a bunch of things I wanted to review with you. And instead of like, oh, wait, what was that one? Or shoot, I wrote that one thing down. You just got them together. You just flip through them, and then you got on to more interesting things like, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? Okay, then we have amount of time needed. And this one we're going to play with even more as we keep going with the system. The initial idea here, though, is that if you only have 15 minutes of time, you can pull up your 5 or 15-minute items. And the last one, we'll be talking more about this in the energy management module. So basically, if you dedicate work sessions to certain projects or commitments, you dedicate work sessions, remember this, think of this idea of monotasking by the type of brain function that you're needing, like contemplative or very task-oriented. You can actually tag your to-dos by what type of brain function you would be using. Actually, a very interesting one. So in mega important, maybe it's your heart-based project. Maybe in important, you would have client work, prospective client communication, you know, your wrap session. Maybe in maintenance, you'd have like invoicing, bill paying, admin. In break time, for example, so if most of your work plops you in front of the computer for those top three ones, you could use a break time tag to collect the different things that you need to get done, especially, you know, those of us at the home office, where, you know, you're sitting in front of your computer for a while, and then you're like, oh, you need to do the laundry, you need to unload the dishwasher, all these, like, little things. So if it's movement-based, then you can throw them into your break time tag section, and when, after, you know, say 45 minutes at the computer, pull up your break time task and it's like, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to go sweep the front porch. Something movement oriented away from the screen. No screen FaceTime there. And it keeps you in your productive mode and you feel like, okay, I'm not being a total slacker. And if really you just need a rest, absolutely rest. But if you're like, okay, I want to keep moving, but I need to get away from the computer for 15 minutes. Interesting way to do it. Let's see, Kalia asks, are clients a tag or a project? I would call them projects. Clients are a project. So it depends on the nature of the work. If you're saving up the agenda items, then I would do it as a tag. If you have a project, you know, of a client and you end up with a bunch of to-dos that need to happen, then that to me is a project. I realize there's some crossover there. And if you do have, you could still have both. You could still have a project called client as well as a one-to-one client tag. So, for example, you have a client and you've got a bunch of things that you need to do for them, and then you're like, oh, and I need to remember to talk with them about this, that, or the other. Even if it went into that project, even if that got entered in as a to-do under that project for client X, I would still tag it as one-to-one client name, because when you are in the meeting with the client, you only want to call up the thing that you were going to talk with them about. You aren't necessarily going to be talking about your to-do list of items for that client.
Alrighty. Okay, moving on. Due and start dates. Take due date seriously. Okay, you know what a due date is. I know you do. The thing about it is that a due date isn't helpful the day it's due. You want to see it ahead of time, right? Some of the rules of the road for due dates. They lose their potency when they aren't observed, right? I've seen people use due dates as a way of saying, oh, it'd be really great if this were done by that date, and they put that down as a due date. But that's not a hard date. There's no pain or consequence when they blow by it. Thus, even though they keep entering them in, they just stop looking at them because they have no meaning. So reserve the use of a due date for the things that actually have due dates. They have consequences. Do something else for planning out. Like, I get that you don't want to just see the thing on the day it's due, so plan it out. Say you're committed to setting up the password manager before the next class. So do you make the due date the day of the next class? No, because there's no consequence for not getting done. It's an intention. So instead, you can give it a high priority. And you can even schedule some time on Wednesday or Thursday to work on it. And I do want to point out that it's possible that you won't use the due date feature much. I don't know. From my work with people, I've noticed that people use due dates a lot, and they seem to be abused. So, moral of the story, keep them clean, take them seriously. Okay, so then the start date is sometimes called scheduled or review later. And these are really cool. I really like them because they get the thing that you do out of your way until the day you want to do it or review it. Maybe you just want to review it and then kick it down for another week. So, for example, say you want to look into a travel visa for Thailand, but you're getting ready to lead a course. You can schedule the travel visa research, research travel visa for Thailand. You can schedule that to pop up after the first course session. Then on that designated day, it pops up and it says, hey, research travel visa for Thailand. And at that time, you think, yeah, I'm totally ready to check that puppy out. Or, no way, this realistically is not going to happen until the course is over. And then you can reschedule it to a future date, and then it will pop up then. So it's never getting lost. It's never, floating off into oblivion. It's going to pop up again, and at that point, I look at my dates. It's like, well, if I'm going to go to Thailand, then I really need to get this visa taken care of, so I need to bump it up the priority list and stop, pushing it down the road. Not all programs have this functionality. I love that one. It also works really well with pending, right? So you, like the example of you placed an order and then you can schedule the to-do to pop up in a week to remind yourself to check and see if the thing came or to get from somebody or whatever. You can have it pop up on a certain day, but it's not in your way until then. If you're not using a digital to-do manager, you could put it on a to-do calendar. Which brings us to number seven, calendar. All of the features thus far are tracked in the to-do manager that I use, which is called Things. I'll talk a little more about that in a little bit. You may have noticed that I've hardly said anything about a calendar, and that's because it's not a calendar-based system. David Allen's Getting Things Done methodology is context-based rather than calendar-based. And this is primarily because he understood that most professionals have far more to-dos than they can do. So just parking something on a calendar is going to get messy fast. And what do you do with the ones that you haven't scheduled, or where do you put the ones that didn't get done on the designated day, how do you have like 15 things on you know, your calendar. It just, you know, it gets messy. So he uses the context for sorting in all of these different ways to guide you in understanding what you should do next. And is this the only way to go? No, obviously. And I do realize that some people prefer a more calendar-based system. So let's see. If you are not using the calendar as a task-based system, you can use the all-day part of your digital calendar, right? So you've got timed events, and you have one calendar that is only for timed events. Then in that one, if you're not using it for to-do, you know, like your main to-do system, you can have the all-day section that comes at the very top. Like if you're looking at the week view of your calendar, up at the very top is the all-day section. You can use that for day-specific tasks that are not time-specific, but you have to do it on that day, right? So that is still time-oriented. And the other thing that I highly recommend that you use the all day for is when you're going to be out of town or significant situations that will affect your scheduling and planning. And why I like it up there and out and in that all day area is when you have an all day task and got it extending for several days, it makes that nice little bam that that visually helps you see your timed landscape. Okay, should you make appointments with yourself? Sure, as long as you treat them as appointments with a very important person, which you are. So, if you make appointments with yourself, they need to be well-defined. You need to know why you're reserving this time for yourself, because if it's squishy, it's easy to not hold it in importance. Something comes up and you need to change it, renegotiate as if you were renegotiating with somebody else. You know, I get that we need to be flexible, but if you're looking at, you know, I was going to spend 2 hours on this really important project and something else comes up that you've been waiting for, look at your schedule and renegotiate with yourself. If I do this now, then what is that going to mean for this, you know, commitment that I have to myself, and where else can I place it? So it's, important to be flexible. Like, I totally get that. And it's not okay to just blow by commitments that you've made to yourself. And one suggestion is, a couple of tips. Use the notes section for call-in information or one-time driving directions, or contact info if it's like a one-time thing and they're not getting put in your address book, or things that you want to be sure to take. Also, in the title of your appointment, throw in a couple of question marks at the beginning if the appointment still needs to be firmed up. Great way to just quickly scan that you still need confirmation on that, but it also, for important ones, like say you're going back and forth with a client on coming up with a time, you can park that time. And so if someone else randomly calls you about going out for coffee, you know that you are potentially reserving this time for the client. Use separate calendars for your to-dos, pending, due dates, repeating, milestones. So that's if you're going to use a calendar-based system. And in that case, I think of it more as a planning calendar. So let's see. We'll talk just a bit more about that. So wanted to flip back to our little systems approach from last week. Number 4 is the one that's relevant here. So we had our flow. The bill comes in the mail. We recycle the unnecessaries. We put the bill in the designated to pay spot. And then we've got the pay bills, right? So that's one of your recurring responsibilities. It goes in your to-do manager as a recurring event, either twice a month or the first and third Thursday of the month. And then you don't have to think about it, right? It either pops up in your calendar or it pops up in your to-do manager. Boom. Pay bills. I prefer the first and third Thursday method over the first and 15th of each month because then it falls on a weekday when you're more likely to be ready to schedule kind of an admin type of session. Now, sometimes it falls on Sunday and sometimes it falls on Monday. You're going to keep pushing and moving it around. So maybe you have an admin afternoon, and this is one of the things that goes in that. So let's look at some of the program options. So back on your front page, a little mini table of contents, the one called Action System. I want you to take a few notes in the criteria section. First one, are you primarily online? Are you always online? Do your devices always have the option of being online? Because this is going to differentiate as to whether you need a system that has offline access. So, online or hopefully you can just do online, but if you need offline access, put that in your criteria, offline. Devices. Jot down your top two devices. For example, for me, that's my AirBook and my iPhone. These are the two devices. So even though I have a MacBook and I have a Nexus 7 as well, I only go to two devices for my to-dos, and that's my phone and my AirBook. So those are the two devices. So you're going to write down your prime devices that you need your to-dos to show up on. That's going to tell you if you need cross-platform. That's going to tell you a lot about what kind of program. Do you get a lot of tasks from email? And there's two parts to this. Do you need to respond to those emails? Or do the emails typically give you tasks that you glean the to-dos from, but you're not necessarily responding to the specific email? So here's where the relevance of that is. My task manager links back to the original email, which is a great feature if I need to respond specifically to that email. Oftentimes, I get an email and I say, oh, this contains something that I need to do, but I don't need to get back to them, so I can just take that information and put it in the task manager. So do you need to be able to link, the question here, does your task manager need to be able to link back to the original email? So that would be link to email. And if that's not important for you, then great, because that opens up a few options for you. And are you a Googleite? Meaning, do you use Gmail and Google Calendar? Are you already in their suite of products? Because there's a really good option if you are. So if you're not doing Google stuff, then that goes in your criteria, non-Google oriented. So some of the program options, I'm running out of time. Almost done here. Things is Mac only. And I totally and wholeheartedly endorse it. Maybe we can talk more about specific program options in the Q&A call because it's going to be different for everyone. So I'll leave this I'm going to come back to this one. I'm going to leave this up after once we finish here, okay? Breathe. Yay. Okay, while we're here, breathe in your avatar. Breathe in strength. Breathe in confidence. Breathe in groundedness. And breathe in the additional words that were meaningful for you. Now, I would love for you to take a look through your notes, review the items that you tagged as important, identify the most important ones, put the top three, so on that table of contents page, where it says do, you can put 1, 2, 3, number them in order of priority, and number one can be for the page. So reviewing notes, taking a look at the ones that you found spoke to you. And carry those forward. And then I'm going to show you one thing. I've been totally off on the video this whole time. But remember at the very beginning, I said, here's what you can do for a cool little personal table of contents. So you write all your stuff. So let's say this is the, I don't have a printout of the action system. So this is your action system. Then you take a sticky and you put it on the back of the page and you label it action system. And then the next one can be like info parking. And the next one can be energy management. So say you have these in a binder or in a file folder. You've got tags. You've got your own little table of contents sticking out here that, sure, you could go to Staples and you could buy something, or you could just use stickies and pens and a Google software update in the middle of your face. All right. And open office call on Friday at 11 o'clock. And I want to remind you that you're changing the way that you're navigating your life and your business. So, breathe, have patience with it, come back to your avatar, and please, I do hope that you can make the open office call just to bring up whatever and clarify, because I know we are covering a huge amount of information, and I want to help you get to the right to-do manager. So I'm going to take my face off and put this here. So if you want to look into these, but really, I would be happy to talk about it with you together on Friday. So I think that I should stop talking, and any final questions, I'm sorry that we went right up to the end, but I'm going to leave this up for now as you finish going through your notes. I'll stop talking, go through your notes, pull out your most important, transfer to the front of your page. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Let it be easy, our mantra, let it be easy.